In Jesus' name, Christian friends, nobody likes to be rebuked. Once we're past a certain age, like you and I all are, we just don't expect to be scolded like a child. I'm embarrassed to tell you about the last time it happened to me. It was just a couple of weeks ago in a town about 30 miles west of here, which will remain nameless. I was hauling some yard waste, some lawn grass clippings, out to the compost site, and as I drove through the gate, the site watchman yelled at me, and I stopped the car, and he came to my window, and he started to scold. It seems I hadn't stopped for the stop sign that was there behind the gate, and as he yipped at me, I thought, who are you to talk to me that way, you 40-cent-an-hour dump site watchman? After all, I'm a semi-dignified college professor with an advanced degree, and besides, the sign wasn't there the last time I came, and it's put up over there behind that shed, and nobody can be expected to even see it there. And, well, I guess you can tell I'm still not quite over it. But I was soon ashamed of my anger. I was wrong. The sign was there. But the bad feeling of being scolded stayed with me for a while. Jesus scolded. He issued a sharp rebuke in our reading for this morning. And I'll start a couple of verses prior to what's printed in your folder, and then you can follow along, and this will give you the background to the story in Matthew chapter 9. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Now, you know the characters here, I believe. The Pharisees were the self-righteous church people who knew their Old Testament down to the letter and believed that they were observing every one of them. And the tax collectors were the despised collaborators with the occupying Roman army. Their cheating and their exploitation were widely known. Jesus sat down and ate dinner with these sinners. And the Pharisees thought, look at him, he's condoning their sin. Jesus' reply is a sharp rebuke. Imagine this. "Go learn what this means," he said, and then he quoted an Old Testament Bible passage to the Pharisees. Wow. It was kind of like telling Albert Einstein, "You're so wrong. Don't talk to me again until you go back and review your arithmetic." "Go learn what this means." And he quoted a passage from the Old Testament prophet Hosea, "For I desire mercy, not sacrifice." And then he added, "For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Now, in this episode, which side do we more readily identify ourselves with? Would you rather be standing there with the Pharisees or sitting with the sinners? Well, if we don't identify ourselves more with the sinners in this episode than with the church leaders, we have not been paying close enough attention to our Bibles, which clearly teach us that we are all sinners. We don't measure up to what God expects and demands of us. Jesus reaches out to sinners. He has a love for sinners. He has a passion to reach out to them. And don't imagine it was just to what we would consider deserving sinners. He loves and reaches out to dirty, rotten, undeserving sinners like us. And he tells the Pharisees and he tells us that's what he came to do. It's based on a timeless principle about God. He prefers mercy to sacrifice. You see, sacrifice involves rituals. It's what we do. Mercy, undeserved love, is what God shows to sinners, to us. And it's what God wants us to reflect to those around us. We do value, of course, our rituals, our liturgies, our worship. These things are precious and beautiful. But if we do them self-righteously, without love, as St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, if we speak with the tongues of angels without love, it's nothing. If our faith is not translated into how we deal with others, into how we reach out to sinners, then it's nothing. Reaching out to sinners, we don't have to look very far to find some. There might be some in this very room. In fact, each of us should know one really bad sinner in this room. No, don't point down the row. That's not the idea here. This room is full of undeserving sinners. And there are more elsewhere on this campus. And there are still more who come from time to time and stand on the edge of our campus. Now, with whom do we most identify? Do we identify with undeserving sinners? It's easier not to. It's easier to gather behind fobbed doors and talk with each other about how right we are on this issue. Don't misunderstand, we are with God's word on this issue. But St. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 13, and Jesus shows us here, that without love, being right means nothing. And so I have to ask myself, do I love undeserving sinners? Do I love them as much as Jesus does? Do I love them as much as Jesus loves me? Do I have the inclination to reach out to undeserving sinners? Do I have the burning desire that Jesus had to reach out to them? Do I have a plan to reach out to them? If we have no plan or no inclination to reach out to sinners, Jesus might just say to us, go learn what this means. Well, I'll accept Jesus' rebuke, as I hope all of us will. We should accept Jesus' rebuke every day as we examine ourselves over against God's law and find ourselves again and again, every day, coming up sinners. But Jesus' rebuke is, as with everything he does, a loving one. And one we should accept not with anger or with shame, but with repentance, a determination to do better, moved by the assurance that Jesus eats with sinners. More than that, he lifts our sins off of our backs, puts them on his own, and carries them to the cross through his innocent, intense suffering and death. He makes those sins disappear forever. And that qualifies us, by his grace, to join that heavenly banquet someday where we will sit with Jesus. Out of gratitude, let us try to help assure that every sinner we know and every sinner we know of will also, through faith in him, be there with us. Thanks be to God.